Small Biz Central.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain has 30 years of managerial experience in line and staff positions in Fortune 500, entrepreneurial, and educational contexts. Since 1989, Bill Monson has been in leadership roles in executive education at the University of St. Thomas, first as director of the Executive MBA program, and now as director of the Center for Family Enterprise. Prior to these positions, he managed a startup venture. He was the manager of a corporate management development program at Medtronic, and then was associate dean for graduate programs in management at the College of St. Thomas. Joining us from Minneapolis on the line now is Bill Monson. Bill, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Pleasure to visit.
What is the Center for Family Enterprise at the University of St. Thomas? Tell us about the program.
Fundamentally, the center is an effort to make sure that something as ubiquitous as family business actually gets noticed and some intellectual capital developed for business school students. Most MBA programs have conspicuous by their absence any reference to family enterprise. We're trying to correct that omission, and so the center addresses research, educational programs through our MBA and other degree programs, and community service things to be able to bring family business issues and family business model to the mainstream of what we do in business education.
Just curious, what is your own personal fascination with family business, and how did you first become involved and engaged in the whole matter?
I became engaged when we were exploring what we might do for educational programming based on an offer from a generous donor that would help to change people's lives in midlife. And part of that research, looking at a variety of areas, led us to say one of the things that we know makes a difference is for next generation folk and family businesses to help them prepare for ownership, to help them prepare for leadership, to help them prepare for running an organization. And so my personal passion is around what does it take to run an organization well from a broad systems point of view, and family enterprise explicitly includes a family system that virtually the rest of business tends to ignore.
Absolutely. Now, the University of St. Thomas recently hosted a Family Capital, Family Business, and Free Enterprise Conference. Curious what some of your takeaways were.
It was, first off, just, I think, wonderful to have a setting in which people from different stakeholder groups, policymakers, family business owners, and academics could get together and say, what do we need to do to enhance the common good 5 years from now?
Yeah.
And in the process of doing that, start with some academic data, just as a way of getting grounded for the different topics that we were taking on,
mm-hmm.
and then use that as a catalyst to have a real discussion about whether it was aspects of different cultures that have immigrated to the U.S. that might have a different family business model than the more traditional sort of European family businesses that we have tended to organize around, what's really involved in understanding the distinctive aspects of family point of view that impact family business. And so what came out of this was just a wonderful opportunity to say, if we wanted to make U.S. a better and healthier place, what can family business do that will help on that? And in turn, what kinds of policies would help family business, in fact, do more? And so that was really the focus of what we were doing.
Did any issues bubble up amidst these conversations about problems that family businesses tend to have?
Yes, although to be fair, I think there were more orientations around opportunities sometimes embedded in problems. The specific example that comes immediately to mind is it's one thing to think from a policy perspective of somebody who is an owner-manager of a business, and it's another thing that isn't exactly the same as Wall Street, obviously, but what do you do with people that have an ownership interest in a family business but are not directly engaged in running the business day to day? So that would be an example of a problem, but the opportunity embedded in that is to say, from a policy standpoint, have we really taken into account different stages of business development, different sizes of business, and you know what we might then be able to do that would have better underlying policy? an example that quickly comes to mind is, I believe, at least according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, a year ago, I think only 45% of companies with fewer than 10 employees offered health benefits, and that was one of the areas that we discussed. And that was actually a drop of, I think, 12% from the same data gathered in 2000. Well, trying to sort out from a business startup as well as a small business standpoint how you work health insurance in a way that promotes what we're trying to do for the common good is a very complicated issue, but one that at this point would certainly have some wonderful opportunities if we could come up with a solution.
Yeah, yeah. The University of St. Thomas has an innovative approach to teaching all matters relating to forming, growing, thriving in a family business enterprise. Tell us, if you would, about the approach there and how it's different and why it's so effective.
Well, the two things that come to mind, one is sort of distinctive to St. Thomas and one is sort of distinctive to family enterprise.
Sure.
The part that's distinctive to St. Thomas is, from a system standpoint, the opportunities for education when you bring in multiple people from a family system is really quite profound. And what we have done for almost 20 years in our engaging people to learn about family enterprise and engaging ourselves to learn about it,
yeah,
has been on every opportunity to bring in more than one generation. So, for example, even in the conference, when we invited in family business owners, at every opportunity we would invite in people from more than one generation, because obviously different generations do in fact have different perspectives on this. So we have a long history of being able to engage people in learning conversations that actually result in their taking actions within their own family business. The other thing that comes to mind in terms of what's distinctive that I think we're just acknowledging is, so much of business, particularly when you look at our collective experience on Wall Street in recent weeks, is that everything has gotten very complicated and diffused and fragmented. And so when you look at financial instruments, it is this sort of management through multiple layers of abstraction.
Yeah.
And what family enterprise and small business in general provide is an opportunity, instead of being diffused and fragmented, to be more focused and consolidated. And, you know, for example, most small business owners have their retirement tied up in the net worth of their business. It's not necessarily just in a portfolio that has been diffused among a number of different investments. And so I think part of what we are able to do in the family side of things is to take advantage of real relationships, take advantage of the fact that, for the most part, family ideals are sort of the linchpin into values that people bring into their business interactions, and to keep it all very sort of concrete, and the kinds of things that people do and don't do in their day-to-day interactions that, in fact, make a big difference on how well the business performs.
We're visiting with Bill Munson. He is the director at the University of St. Thomas of a program called the Center for Family Enterprise. Do you recommend that top decision-making or management structures or processes be approached differently for family-owned enterprises than perhaps other types of businesses that are not family-owned?
Well, there's an interesting question given what's been going on lately when you think of the extent to which so often businesses are propelled by fear and greed. So I'm not sure that I would say it's different. I would say that this might be an appropriate time for everyone in business to take a step back and say, what are we in business to accomplish here? And I remember one of my favorite Peter Drucker quotes is that we so often confuse making profit with the purpose of a business. And Drucker's reference was, profit is like oxygen. It's absolutely essential for survival, but hardly the reason for being. And so the piece that, to answer your question, is I just think a little more reflection and consistency around the core purposes that we achieve to create customers, to serve the needs of customers, to make a contribution to our society and our economy, and to think a little more in terms of common good, as I mentioned earlier, is in fact something that would be very timely.
Let's talk a bit about the economic impact that family firms are having on the overall economy. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, with the caveat that how you define family business is sort of loose. And in fact, one of the things that I thought was interesting in the conference was the acknowledgement that, in fact, it's ubiquitous, but sort of hard to define. Everybody thinks they know what they're talking about, but really don't. At any rate, if you, with the caveat that the definition is a little bit problematic, clearly small business and family business are the economic engine and have been for a long time in our country and around the world. And to think that we often frame our policies around tax and legal aspects around sort of maybe the 5,000 publicly held rather large companies while ignoring the 50,000 smaller companies that in fact are contributing greatly in terms of new job creation, percentage of gross domestic product, certainly something over 50% and so on, is, you know, just an opportunity begging for some attention, because if we could find a more balanced way to really address small and family business issues from a policy perspective, we ought to be able to help each other achieve a much better common good.
Mm. I know you're currently finishing a PhD in human and organizational systems at the Field Graduate University there, with focusing on patterns of interaction among general managers and their teams. I was curious if you would tell us more about that work that you're doing.
Well, I think the underlying notion fits what I'd said earlier, that I just have a real passion around the notion of so often the mythology in our country, whether family business and a matriarch or patriarch or a public corporation and a legendary leader, to assume that it's only the person at the top that really makes things happen, and that gets mixed up in a variety of compensation schemes and so on.
Sure.
As well.
Sure.
My interest is, the reality is, nobody does something good alone. It's always done through the gifts of people with complementary talents who are working together. So my particular interest is just real nuts and bolts. What is it that people on executive teams, whether in a family business or in a publicly held business, do in their day-to-day interactions that tends to result in better decisions than if they don't work well together? I'm reminded briefly of the difference between the John F. Kennedy cabinet for Bay of Pigs compared to Cuban Missile Crisis. And part of what happened in between those two seminal events was a radical change in the processes that they used in interacting on the cabinet. It meant that John Kennedy didn't share his belief or conclusion too early in the process.
Oh, yeah.
It meant that he asked people to be critical evaluators, to challenge, be devil's advocates of any things that came up. Mm-hmm. It meant that people always tried to look from more than one point of view. And when it came to communicating something, he would even ask people to communicate the opposition's perspective in an effort to make sure that people would understand different perspectives.
So, that is so powerful.
My underlying notion is just, and it's true, again, whether it's in families trying to figure out what they're trying to do within the family or within the family business, to be able to collaborate in a way that actually reflects real conversation, real differences of opinion, and appreciation for the different talents that people bring to the table, and a willingness to follow other people's talents when they're the ones that are best positioned to contribute.
Oh, that's so powerful, Bill. Tell us a little bit more in closing about the University of St. Thomas, the Center for Family Enterprise, how folks can find out more as they're listening.
Well, of course, you're welcome to visit the University of St. Thomas website and click on Center for Family Enterprise, and we have quite a bit of information. But this is a university that started over 100 years ago trying to help recent immigrants, typically at that point in time from Germany and Ireland, create a better life for themselves. And throughout its history, and with obviously a focus on different ethnic groups as our culture has evolved, we continue to be focused on what we can do to help people, in fact, make a contribution to the common good, to think critically, to, in fact, do something that makes a difference in terms of their families, their communities, and our country. And so family enterprise is just one of any number of things that we do within the university to try to stay grounded in the day-to-day interactions among real people and to help people make the best contributions they can.
Oh, thanks for that. Bill Munson has been our guest. He's the director of the Center for Family Enterprise over at the University of St. Thomas. Bill, thanks so much for your time with us this morning and for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Pleasure to visit with you, David.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz Central.